Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, my father, Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Glad to be on, as usual.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad you're here to check out another episode of Sports Urban Legend. And on today's show, you know, we're going to talk about I'm hearing this echo in the background for some reason. But yeah, I'm hearing a background echo in my background while I'm talking. I don't know what's going on. But in any case, we're going to talk about the Spike Lee incident. You know, at the Garden. We're also going to talk about Kenny Atkinson being fired by the Nets. We're also going to talk about, you know, spring training, you know, how the teams are doing so far. You know, obviously it's meaningless. But, you know, we'll talk about that. Even talk about the Rangers, the Rangers player, Zibanejad, he scored 5 goals in a game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, recently. We'll talk about that as well. And, you know, we'll end up with a little WWE and AEW news. So, you know, you guys know the number. You know, feel free to call in about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But without further ado, yeah, let's talk about what's going on in the Garden.
Oh, man. Spike Lee issue, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. On the day they announced that they're going to have a new president, you know, basketball operations, Leon Rose, you know, he was a super agent, but now he's taking a leap, you know, to run the Knicks. And, you know, for weeks we knew about the rumor about him, you know, taking over as the president of, you know, basketball operations, you know, after they fired Steve Mills, the longtime executive at MSG. So, you know, the day that they finally announced it, you know, that Leon Rose is, you know, taking over, you know, it was odd enough that he didn't have a press conference, but that was, you know, unfortunately overshadowed by the drama surrounding Spike Lee. And I'm pretty sure all of you heard about it, but I guess for the few people who don't know what happened, I'll just give you a brief summary. Basically, you know, Spike Lee is a huge Knicks fan, you know, who wears orange and blue, you know, everywhere he goes. He attends the Knicks games, you know, even in his movies that he makes and stars in, you know, he always shows the Knicks love, you know, in every movie he does, whether it's, you know, Do the Right Thing, Crooklyn, I mean, you name any of his movies. He always shows the Knicks love, you know, and he attends the games. He's been attending the game for like 20 plus years, you know, from the nosebleed section all the way down to, you know, the front row seats that he's been accustomed to be doing, you know, ever since the 90s, you know, with the Knicks, you know, heated rivalry with Jordan, the Bulls, Reggie Miller, and, you know, and the Pacers, and so on and so forth, even though, you know, the Knicks are usually on the losing end of those battles, you know. But, you know, that was when the Knicks had heart, you know, when, you know, players like Patrick Ewing and Starks and Mason, and yes, dare I say Charles Oakley, who can't even, you know, who's not even going to the Garden anymore because of his incident with Dolan a few years ago when he got thrown out of the Garden, you know, Jazzy Jeff style, man. I mean, who would have thought in a million years a guy who lives and breathes orange and blue, who played on the Knicks for, you know, on the who played on the Knicks for 10 years, he's gonna be out, you know, kicked out like yesterday's garbage. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But yet, you know, Isaiah Thomas and Steve Mills, you know, practically gets the Kenya of heroes in the eyes of Dolan, man. But yet, you know, he kicks Oakley out, which, I mean, that was a stain among millions of stains that's gone on with this organization for basically 20 years now. And then to exacerbate it, you know, not to mention them, you know, kicking fans out for saying sell the team. Now they kick out Spike Lee. You know what I mean? The only celebrity that actually really cares about the Knicks.
Well, Spike Lee, the thing about that story is he wasn't exactly kicked out. They just rerouted his entrance. Like, I think he comes out through the employee entrance, right? Where he's been going through for the last 25 years or so. And this time they stopped him and made him go around the VIP entrance. Where,
right.
Rightfully, I mean, I think the Garden is half right on this one. I mean, Spike Lee has been getting special privileges, you know, as a big Knicks fan for the last, you know, 30, 40 years, however long he's been a Knicks fan. But I guess they decided it's time for him to go through the right entrance, and Spike Lee is upset because of that.
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem is that, you know, Spike Lee, he's been going there for, like, I think 28 years. But
right.
The problem is, according to him, they never gave him a warning. They never sent him an email. They never called him. They never texted him to let him know that he's no longer authorized to go through the employee entrance.
Right.
And like he was saying in a bunch of interviews that he did, you know, regarding this, he's been a Knicks fan from Jump Street. He's been a Knicks fan ever since the championship Knicks teams of the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Like the 1970 Knicks team, that was his team. That was a team that basically made him a Knicks fan. I mean, rightfully so. That's the obviously the first Knicks team to ever win a championship. And unfortunately, the 50th anniversary of the Knicks winning their first title is going to go down in a whimper because of, you know, mismanagement of this organization for like 20 years, basically,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, it's a sad state, you know, that the Knicks fans have to suffer like this. And there's no light at the end of the tunnel, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they have some, you know, I do think Leon Rose is going to do a good job. I mean, he has connections, you know, with the league, you know, with players like, you know, Chris Paul and Melo, you know, but a bunch of star players, you know, D-Wade, who's basically, you know, retired, you know, but he knows a lot of people in the league. He's been in the league for like 20 years as a super agent. So he has relationships with players. But the problem is that the Knicks keep doing all these ridiculous off the court shenanigans that no players in their right mind want to come in and you know, change the culture of this team. Because there's always something new, something crazy going on with this organization, man.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, the crazy thing is Spike Lee, he said on ESPN's First Take that he spent over, I think, how much was it, $300 million dollars or something like that?
No, he spent over, like, I think $10 million. I mean.
Is it 10 million? I thought it was more than that. That was like $300 million or something, some crazy number.
It could be. I mean, it might be. You might be right. I mean, because it's ridiculous. Because I think they said, the seats are like what? Are the seats like $3,000 or something like that?
No, more than that.
I'm talking about a game. A game. I forgot what was the average amount per game. But it was like some ridiculous number.
I'm not sure, but I remember Max Kellerman was saying that, you know, he's probably spent over, it was either $3 million or $30 million or $300 million. It was an insane number. And
yeah,
that's major commitment there to be spending that kind of money.
It is. It's especially a team that's been horrible. The only way that this situation can be remedied by Dolan selling the team would be for the players, for the fans to stop going altogether. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like there was a drop in the fan attendance for the first time in a long time. You know, following the game after, you know, Spike Lee, you know, didn't show up, you know, against Chris Paul and the Rockets. You know, the Knicks got their butt kicked, of course. I think.
Oh, yeah,
Chris
you're
Paul
right. It's actually up. 10 million. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, the Knicks got their butt kicked, you know, and after the game, after they had one of their best performances of the year, when they trying to remember who they beat, it was a well fought game. I'm trying to
was
remember.
Was it Chicago?
Was it the Bulls? I can't even remember.
It was the Bulls that they beat recently.
It might have been the Bulls. I just can't remember. Who was the star player that they had on the team? I'm trying to remember who did they beat. Oh wait, no, it wasn't the Bulls. No.
Oh, Oklahoma?
Westbrook.
Oh, Houston.
No, yeah, it was Houston. Right, yeah. Houston. Right, yeah, exactly. It was, yeah, Westbrook, Harden. Yeah, exactly. It was Houston, yeah. It's coming. Because I remember Ntilikina made a, whatchamacallit, he had a key, you know, he had a key defensive play to prevent, what's his name, Westbrook from, I think, having a game-tying shot or a game-winning shot. I think it was a game-tying. Because I think,
right.
the Knicks was up by two. So, yeah, that shot would have tied the game up. And, you know, the Knicks would have got the game, you know, would have blew that lead. Because they had a 21-point lead at that time. You know, it would have been, you know, another loss for the Knicks. But I digress, man. The Knicks, they're going on what will be their seventh year, consecutive year, without making it to the playoffs. And, I mean, it just shows, man, that, you know, no matter what they do, man, unless they draft wisely, because they have 7 draft picks coming up, you know, in the next couple of years. So they gotta draft wisely, because no superhero, no Superman is going to come from Krypton to save the Knicks from this situation. We all know the commissioners, you know, during the past, you know, even the late great David Stern, he even though he was supposedly, you know, he was a Knicks fan, he didn't intervene, and the Knicks have been what they've been. Adam Silver right now, he's supposedly a Knicks fan as well. He's not gonna intervene, period. So
yeah.
The Knicks have to try to, they gotta hope that Leon Rose and whoever he surrounds himself with, you know, whether it's World Wide West or Keith Perry or get some more executives, you know, respected executives to surround themselves, because that's exactly what Rose needs to do, because he's inexperienced as a GM, you know, as a president of basketball operation. Obviously, he has relationships with people in the league, you know, being a one of the top agents, if not the top agents in the game, you know, in sports, especially in NBA, you know, so he has connections like that. But, you know, resume wise, he doesn't have the executive, you know, running a team. So he definitely needs to surround himself with some players. So one of the big news, rumors that are surrounding the Knicks is that Rose wants to get one of his former star clients, and that would be Chris Paul, you know. But the problem is, Chris Paul, you know, he's having a very good year. I think he's averaging, 17 points a game or so. You know, he's having a bounce back year. But the problem is he's making a lot of money, and you're going to have to give up, obviously, a player of that talent, a future Hall of Famer, you're going to have to give up some talent. So my question to you, should the Knicks try to pursue a trade with Chris Paul?
I mean, Chris Paul, he's getting older. I would say no. I mean, I know he could still play and all, but we need to get younger right now, man. You can't get older guys. We can't just trade picks for older guys, you know. Just try to get younger right now. Develop talent. You know? What's the point of getting Chris Paul when in 2 or 3 years he's not going to be a Nick? What's the point?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, he's a great talent. I mean, normally I would say yes, go after him. But the problem is he's not a free agent. You have to give up something for him. And the Knicks are in a rebuilding situation. They need all the picks. The picks are if you draft wisely, this is what's going to get the Knicks out of their situation. Yes, they need a veteran guy to get them out of this, you know, to help them get them out of the situation. But the problem is you're going to have to give up something, and they cannot give up on the talent that they have. You know what I'm saying? What are you going to give up? You can't give up RJ Barrett. You cannot give up Mitchell Robinson. I'm trying to think who else would I say is on that. I would even give up on Knox, even though Knox has been inconsistent, you know, especially this year, you know. But I would not give up on him either. So what are you going to give up? If you're not going to give up those three guys and you're not going to give up your draft picks, I mean –
they don't have to give up draft picks.
I mean, there's no way this deal would get done anyway. And Chris Paul don't even seem interested in coming here anyway. I mean, because obviously he's in a better winning situation with Houston. He hasn't won a title yet. And, you know, he verbally was saying that basically the Knicks are basically doing this rumor to get rid of, you know, to take heat off the Spike Lee situation. You know, he defended his friend Spike Lee, and he didn't really comment on it other than that. So that doesn't sound like someone who wants to come to the Knicks anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is we're many years removed. We're like 10 years removed from, you know, that the proclamation of them, you know, him creating a pseudo big three with him and Melo and I'm trying to think who was probably Sotomayor, I would assume would be the other three.
Yeah.
That never happened. So that's done. And even if they tried to, let's say if this deal does get done and they do a big three that they were prophesying for like a decade, it's going to be too little too late. Like all of these guys are over the hill. Well, other than Chris Paul, I mean, I can't even say that about Melo, because Melo, he's playing well. He's having a bounce back year. Chris Paul, he's getting up there. And then Melo, I mean, Stoudemire, I think, if memory serves me right, he retired a few years ago, but he's thinking about coming, making a comeback. So
last time I heard, this guy was in Israel or something.
Yeah, he was in Israel, right. But I think I heard last time I heard, like, I don't know if it was earlier this year or last year, that he's thinking about coming back to the NBA. So we'll see what happens with that. But the Knicks, man, they you know, if it was a one-year free agency deal, I mean, fine. I mean, I guess you could do it. But then again, it'll take up cap space. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess if it was a free agency deal, you know, not for many years, maybe a year, an option, team option or something like that, maybe I'd be more open to it. But, yeah, it's too risky, especially giving up the picks, you know. So, for that, yeah, it's tempting to go after a guy like that, but, I mean, I don't think his heart's going to be in it because – he wants to be in a situation where he's going to finally win a championship. You know what I'm saying? Do you want him to do the Beltran route? You know, he has the title. Do you want him to bang on trash cans on the basketball court? I don't think it's going to be that obvious. You know, him banging on a trash can during a basketball game. But, yeah, man, it's not going to happen. Like, I just don't see that happening anyway. So it is what it is. We'll see in the off season what goes down. But yeah, shifting gears with the Nets. The Nets, man, they did a shocking move. They fired their head coach Kenny Atkinson. And I think it's a bad move, to be honest with you, because, you know, he had a good rapport with the team. I mean, yeah, they were kind of struggling a little bit, but I would say that was more so because, you know, Kyrie Irving has been injured most of the year, not to mention he had that aggravated, I think, shoulder, which basically essentially made him have another surgery. So he's going to be out. He's out for the rest of the year. And then, of course, you know, Durant, he was gone. He's going to be gone for the whole year. So, you know, it's kind of like the Knicks situation last year with Porzingis, man. It's like, you know, Porzingis was mad with the team, complaining with the team, like, why aren't they doing good? But the reason why they ain't doing good is because you ain't healthy. So that's basically what's with the Nets. I mean, the Nets, they've been a feisty team. I think they're like currently seventh place, even though they're a few games under 500, but they're like in the seventh place. You know, they have a shot. They have a shot to make the playoffs. But
they're not. You know, they haven't really played up to expectations this year.
Yeah.
So I mean, I am kind of surprised that they fired him in the middle of the season rather than at the end of the season. But I can see why. You know, they're, what, 8 games under 500, something like that, but they're still in the 7th seed. So, yeah, I mean, they're fortunate to be a playoff team right now because the East, you know, is not as great as the West. But, with his firing now, you know who the longest tenured coach or manager in New York?
Gino Wernyama?
Out of all the 9 local teams?
Let me think. Probably Aaron, what's his last name? Escaping me for whatever reason.
Aaron Boone?
Aaron Boone, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
That's correct. Aaron Boone has been with the Yankees 2 years now, so he is the longest tenured coach or manager in out of all the 9 local teams.
Oh my god! I mean, that shows you right. That shows you right there. The currency of New York sports, man. If you don't have the Yankees or the Giants bailing the New York out, we'd just be in this long drought.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess you're fortunate to be a Yankee and a Giant fan. Well, I mean, Giants, they have been horrible these past couple of years, but at least they, during the Eli Manning era, they gave you joy.
So, yeah, but they've had, I mean, the last, what, 4 years, I think they're going through three managers, three coaches so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. I think it's three coaches, right? Last 4 years, I think.
Let me think. Who was it? Shurmur.
What was before that?
Shurmur. Coughlin.
Gittle. What was
no, not name? Coughlin. Oh no, Spagnuolo.
No, Spagnuolo was he was never our head coach. He was a defensive coach for us.
Oh, right, right. I'm sorry. He left. He went to, I think, New Orleans.
Right. Correct.
And he did that. It was Shurmur. Trying to think. It's Shurmur.
Well, right now it's Judge. Judge is
the
current coach.
I know that. Yeah, I know Judge because he just took it. He left Patriots to be the coach. Almost said
right.
to be the judge.
Yeah, and before it was just Shurmur, and then before that it was who was the guy who was with the Packers before that? I guess it was Spagnuolo. Yeah, I guess it was Spagnuolo, wasn't it?
I think so, because I think after Coughlin left, he became the coach, maybe for a year or two.
No, after Coughlin was Ben McAdoo.
Oh yeah, Ben. Yeah, I forgot about Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, and then it was Spagnuolo.
So there's more coaches than we remember.
The last what?
Couple of years, like four or five coaches.
About four. Yeah.
After Coughlin.
Yeah. Ben McAdoo, Spagnuolo, Shurmur, and now Judge. But Spagnuolo replaced McAdoo in the middle of the season in 2017, I think. Didn't he or something like that?
Sounds about right.
Something like that, yeah. So, all these New York teams, man, they can't keep their coaches and managers.
Mm-hmm.
No more than a season or two, it seems like, these days.
Or they with the Mets, they can't keep it for off season.
Well, with the Mets, how long was he manager? He was like for a couple years, right? A couple seasons.
Are you talking about Mickey Callaway?
Yeah,
Mickey Callaway was 2 years, but you forgot who replaced him. It was Carlos Beltran. Carlos Beltran was the manager.
Oh, yeah.
In November,
right.
And then by the time it was February or so.
Yeah.
We have Luis Rojas.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because
the
whole Astro scandal.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
So, now there'll always be unfinished business with Beltran, man. Like, what could have been? Would he have been a good manager or not? We'll never know now. So,
yeah, we'll never know.
But I guess the bright side is he doesn't have a losing record.
Yes.
So, I mean.
True. Doesn't have a winning record either.
He's a 500 manager, so he'll fit right in with some of these managers here that we have. But I'm trying to think. So because of the Atkins move, and the Knicks, they're gonna be looking for new managers. You know, they're gonna be looking for Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff Van Gundy, he's not going to be on the unemployment line after this. I mean, he is working for, like, TNT, but when it comes to head coaching, he's going to be like Girardi. He's going to find his a home for him. Probably with the Nets. If I was a betting man, I'd say he'd go to the Nets. You know, not deal with the Knicks drama.
I would have loved Jackson to coach the Knicks, but for some reason they don't want to give him a chance.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be like the Mets situation, it's gonna be either Jackson or Van Gundy to the Nets. Knicks will probably have Thibodeau, instead of having Mark Jackson or Van Gundy.
Yeah,
because those are the two guys I would prefer to run the team. Thibodeau would be third, but that's basically what's gonna happen, man. This move to me is like, this is gonna prevent the Knicks from getting the manager they need, not that they want, but that they need to have. It's kind of like Mets, man. They should have hired Girardi.
Yeah.
But they hired Beltran. The Jets should have hired McCarthy. But they didn't. Now he's a Cowboy. And they have Adam Gase. So to me, that, you know, he's Mickey Callaway in NFL,
yes.
But that you know, it is what it is. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that, you know, with the team. What they're gonna do.
Yeah.
Moving on with the I'm trying to think. With the Rangers, man. They lost today. They lost, I think final score was 6-4. Zibanejad, he scored his 39th goal, but just a few days ago, man, this guy, he had a career year, a career day, basically, man. He scored 5 goals. He was like the third Ranger to do it, the first Ranger in decades to score 5 goals in a game, including the 5th one was the game winner.
Wow.
I think they beat I think it was the Capitals. They beat the Capitals 6-5. So, you know, congrats to Zibanejad, man. Mika Zibanejad, man. He's having an awesome year.
Yeah, congrats.
So hopefully he could keep it up. They got a young goalie. I forgot how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean he's really good. I mean he got in an accident I think last week or a few weeks ago. But you know he's doing okay. Now, him and I think another team got you know, but yeah. You know, for the most part, the Rangers are doing well. The games I've been paying attention to, Lundqvist, you know, he's been getting knocked around a lot lately, you know. But, you know, hopefully he can write the ship. You know, he is a, you know, future Hall of Famer and all. So, hopefully.
How old is Lundqvist?
I don't know. Definitely in his late 30s, or mid to late 30s. If I was a betting man, I'd say probably 36 years old, but I don't know.
He's been around forever now.
Yeah, you know, hopefully, you know, the Rangers could get on a magical run like 94 and, you know, bring, you know, hopefully get Lundqvist, you know, a championship. Much needed and deserved championship. But we'll see what happens. Let's shift gears to WWE. And they had the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view event. I didn't watch the pay-per-view event, but actually it's coming on tomorrow. I'm thinking of Super Showdown.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, Elimination Chamber is going down tomorrow. But yeah, the biggest news at the Super Showdown was, of course, Goldberg defeating Bray Wyatt for the title. Which we talked about that.
Yeah, we reviewed it last week.
But now he's gonna face Roman Reigns, but that's not going down. Elimination Chamber. I guess we'll talk about the Goldberg, you know, facing Roman Reigns in the upcoming weeks. You know, but the messed up thing about it, I don't think we touched upon it last week, but the messed up thing about the whole feud between Roman Reigns and Goldberg is that they canceled the Elimination Chamber match, you know, where Roman Reigns was going to eventually beat all the other guys to win it, which I think is pretty lame. I mean, we know Roman Reigns was going to do it, but they should have had the match.
You know
what I'm saying?
I agree.
Here's my point. Either you can't, if you're going to cancel the Elimination Chamber match, you might as well cancel the entire Elimination Chamber pay-per-view event, because this pay-per-view event right this year is a blatant placeholder, just like Roadblock was a few years ago, Like, you know what I'm saying? Because we know what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, Elimination Chamber, like, most notably, the women's Elimination Chamber. You know Shayna Baszler is going to win the women's one.
Of course.
Against, she's going to be battling the Riot Squad, former Riot Squad members, Ruby Riot, Liv Morgan, Sarah Logan, the forgotten one of the three, Asuka, Natalya. I think that's about it, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I think that's about it. So, of course, Shayna Baszler should win. But now there's rumors that that Vince McMahon's already cold on her. Like, he, you know what I mean?
Shayna Baszler?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the point. I don't see the reason why. I mean, I don't know if that's a smokescreen or whatnot, or, but she has to win. She has to win the Elimination Chamber. I mean, the whole thing is being set up for her to face Becky Lynch. I mean, for them to, like, call an audible and cancel and make somebody else be, face her would be dumb.
Who are they thinking? Who else would face her?
Ruby Riot? Like, I mean, who else could it be? It's not, it can't be Liv Morgan. I mean, it's kind of... I'm assuming that Shayna, no matter what Shayna Baszler is going to win, and then if he's sour on her, she'll just lose to Becky at WrestleMania, you know, if that's the case. Because Becky and Shayna Baszler have to fight each other. I mean, the buildup is leading up to it. It would be dumb for them to change it up, even whether he goes sour on her or not. You know, that would be determined at WrestleMania.
Right.
But yeah, having Roman Reigns, you know, and the other guys not compete for the men's Elimination Chamber is just a dumb move, because that's usually the main event of the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah,
the most important Elimination Chamber match. You know, seeing them battle it out to see who's gonna face the champion, whether it would be Brock Lesnar or I guess Goldberg in this instance. Because yeah, there's no other. All the WWE matches are set up. Brock Lesnar is gonna face Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, and Roman Reigns is gonna face Goldberg. I mean, there's no suspense. Really,
yeah, you got your matches, the championship matches set already.
Yeah, I mean, the only Elimination Chamber match we have is the women's one and the tag team one. Yeah, the tag team ones with the Usos trying to win their seventh to tie the New Day. And I'm trying to remember who else is there. Heavy Machinery.
Miz and John Morrison
defending the title, which, I mean, let's be real. They'll come out. They're gonna retain the title.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode's gonna be there, of course. I'm trying to think of what other tag team is in there.
Oh, you said Lucha House Party, right?
Oh, I forgot about them. Maybe because they're irrelevant. No, but I'm not feeling the Lucha House Party. I'm glad they're fighting. There's two people that's fighting. I don't know if the third member is injured. I don't know, but at least it's an even playing field. But yeah, to me, it's gonna be the Miz and it could, you know what, I here's the two options I could see happening. It could be the Miz and Morrison retaining, or I'm trying to think.
The champions?
Oh yeah. The champions are gonna be there. So
yeah, the Miz and John Morrison are champions.
Yeah, so it could be that, or Usos win, and then Usos face off with the New Day for the tag team championships. That could be those are the only two options I could see happening.
I think the Usos are going to win it.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? It might happen. I think that might be the case because, you know, they were kind of teasing that those guys are going to those guys are bragging, you know, the New Day were bragging that they have one more title reign than they do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The Miz and Morrison might be temporary champions. When you think about it. So yeah, I think my arm's being twisted. The Usos are gonna win it, and then it's gonna set up a matchup, you know, between them and the New Day.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be Usos.
I'm trying to think what other matches they have.
You have the Street Profits versus Seth Rollins and Murphy.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Congratulations to the Street Profits, man.
That was a big win.
Finally got an opportunity, and they won. They won the tag team titles, the Raw tag team titles. You know, they want the smoke, and they got it.
Yeah, and I think they should hold on to it for a while.
And the most important thing is that the opportunity didn't go up in smokes.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they capitalized on it. But Brooklyn was a great place for them to win the title. But I think they should have waited until WrestleMania. They were just a few weeks away they should just give them an opportunity to win the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't like when WWE does that, you know. Like weeks before WrestleMania, they give a match, a WrestleMania type of match, because you know, you want a fan favorite to win their first title at WrestleMania. You know, you want the wrestler, a fan favorite to have, his or her, you know, boyhood or girlhood dream of, you know, being a champion at WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I agree.
Nothing is like winning a title. The only thing that's better than winning a title at WrestleMania is winning your first ever title at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully they'll get a big, you know, W at WrestleMania. You said they're fighting against
Seth Rollins and Murphy.
Seth Rollins and Murphy. See, there you go. You could have had a big matchup with Seth Rollins and Murphy at WrestleMania. You know, Seth Rollins could have been bragging all the way up until this point. Been like, you ain't got what it takes to beat me. I'm the Messiah. And then, you know, and then they just bragging and, you know, and then they could have left WrestleMania. I think this battle was premature, you know.
Well, but I think they, even though it should have been WrestleMania, man, I think this match, I think they're going to retain those titles.
I hope so. I sure hope so. So they're defending it tomorrow against Seth Rollins and them.
Yep.
I'm trying to think who, if it's not Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, who are they going to face?
That's a good question.
Oh, maybe AOP?
That could, yeah.
If that's the case, then I can, you know, forgive them for giving WWE for putting the title on them early instead of waiting for them to have that WrestleMania moment. Because,
yeah,
AOP, them against AOP would be, I think, would be even better.
That would be a good match.
Know? But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do that. But yeah, I'm rooting for the Street Profits, man. It'd be messed up for them to lose their title, you know, the next pay-per-view event. It'd be like Sasha Banks against Charlotte, you know, or Alexa Bliss. Every time she wins the championship on Raw, the next following pay-per-view event she loses the title.
I know, yeah. That's what I feared them what might happen against Seth Rollins and Murphy.
Yeah.
Because they only had it for a week. Not even a week.
Not even a week.
Yeah.
Monday would make it a week.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. I hope they could retain it. Um But what was I gonna say? What other matches are there? I'm trying to think, because
Aleister Black against AJ Styles, no disqualification.
Oh, yeah. But see, this that's a great match. But the problem is, they teased it already on Raw.
Right.
Why did they make them fight if they're gonna make them fight again at the pay per view event? See, this is a pay per view event. This could even be a WrestleMania worthy event right here. But I mean, he is gonna face Undertaker. So I mean, that could be right up there with the Shawn Michaels Undertaker matches from like what 25 and 26.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because apparently Undertaker personally requested to face AJ Styles at WrestleMania because he's, you know, the AJ, he's like the Shawn Michaels of his era right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a, you know, a phenomenal choice. I mean, no pun intended. Oh yeah, and that's what I was teasing last week or a few weeks ago about the person that he would be facing. When I heard the rumor, but you know, I didn't want to spoil the surprise for you guys. So it's as you see, it's Undertaker versus
AJ Styles
for the, you know, at WrestleMania. You know, that's gonna be a classic match. You know. But I'm trying to think what. Okay, so who I think's gonna win? I think Aleister Black's gonna win because Undertaker's gonna interfere and cause AJ Styles another match.
I think AJ Styles is gonna find a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening too, but I think Undertaker's gonna interfere yet again. If Undertaker doesn't interfere, then AJ Styles will win. And basically show that, you know, he's the phenomenal one. You know, he's ready for his challenge against Undertaker. But, however, if Undertaker interferes, like he did at the Survivor Series one, not Survivor Series, Super Showdown, then, you know, AJ will lose.
Yeah.
Let me see. Is there any other matches in the
Andrade against Humberto Carrillo?
Oh, Carrillo. Yeah, Humberto Carrillo will finally beat him and take the title.
I think so as well. Yeah, I'm going with Humberto.
Even though Garza might interfere, but Carrillo will win. Carrillo will win it.
You got Daniel Bryan against Drew Gulak.
Drew Gulak, yeah. Daniel Bryan for sure, because Daniel Bryan and Gulak, they've been having this feud about Gulak saying that he knows how to beat Daniel Bryan and all that stuff. But yeah, this is a match that's beneath Daniel Bryan. You know, this is like a low card match. I mean,
yeah, I'm going with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I mean, hands down. Okay, I'm trying to think what other matches that they announced.
Oh, you got Braun Strowman versus Shinsuke.
No, that's WrestleMania, though, isn't it?
No, this is Elimination Chamber.
That triple person match is at WrestleMania?
3-on-1 handicap match for the Intercontinental Championships is tomorrow.
Really? Wow. This whole time they were hyping it up. Yeah, they even had the NWO on SmackDown yesterday. For some reason, I thought it was WrestleMania.
No, it's Shinsuke, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn against Braun Strowman.
Yeah, well, Braun Strowman is gonna win it. I mean, he's gonna retain it. I mean, retain it. I should say.
Yeah, of course. He'll beat all three of them with one single boot.
It'd be kind of like flawless with Layla and Michelle McCool. They'd be co-champions.
Yep.
That was the case.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Braun.
Yeah, that would make it comical. That would make it comical. The Intercontinental Championship split three ways.
Yeah, nah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And plus, Braun Strowman has the, advantage, size wise and power and, let's be real. I mean, it's like when Big Show was feuding against the Straight Edge Society with CM Punk. The good guy has such a size advantage that the bad guys looks comical for the bad guys.
Although Straight Edge had
Luke Gallows.
Luke Gallows, who's almost as big as Big Show.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, but with a guy like Luke Gallows, it should even the odds. And then you have CM Punk. That should make you have that advantage. But they never beat Big Show.
I mean, and they also had Alpha from The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yep. That's a good point. He should have had Negan and Lucille. Maybe Shit in Society would have still been around. Well, I guess technically it is, but now it's Seth Rollins. But yeah, I'm trying to think what other matches are there, man.
The only other one is the women's match, the women's elimination chamber.
Oh, yeah, we said that already. That was like the first thing we let off with.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't pick a winner for that one. I'm going to choose. I'm going to go with Ruby Riott.
Okay. I'm still picking Shayna Baszler.
You're picking Shayna, right? Okay.
Yeah, but it.
I'm
going to
go Ruby.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the only person I could see winning. Other than Shayna Baszler. But Shayna Baszler, I mean, that's a slam dunk pick right there. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, by the way, with the Nets, Jacques Vaughn is the interim coach for the rest of the year.
Oh, okay.
So that's that little tidbit there. And Aaron Judge. You know, he has a stress factor in his rib, so he's going to be he's not going to play for 2 weeks. And he might have surgery in a few weeks if it doesn't improve. So that's a bad blow for the Yankees. But of course, Yankees are the Yankees. They'll find a way to be in the playoff hunts, cuz the regular season for the Yankees starts in October, so they'll be fine. A regular team losing Judge, Severino, Stanton, that's a career ender. But the Yankees will be fine. They'll make the right moves. They'll hold on the fort like last year, and they'll be fine. What's your thoughts quickly before we head out?
Hopefully these injuries don't, hurt us. Because last year, they piled up, and we managed to, win 100 games, make it to the ALCS. But hopefully, it's not like this. Hopefully we have more healthy people than it is. But with all these injuries so far, I mean, it's making me very anxious right now. So hopefully you get these guys back and they can contribute. I mean, Severino, we can't do anything about that. He's going to be out, with Tommy John. We might not see him, for a couple of years maybe. So hopefully we get Judge, Paxton, Stanton, and these guys come back mid-season. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Yankees should be fine. Is there anything you'd like to mention before we head out? Because I think we covered everything.
No, pretty much covered everything. So, hopefully it's a good elimination chamber tomorrow or later today.
Yeah, hopefully. And the deal. We'll post it next week with our review and whether anything else is going on in the world of sports and entertainment. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm Wayne Rameau. And before you go, please feel free to check check out any of these episodes for, you know, on Sports of the Legend, you know. It's every live episode is at 11 p.m. on Saturdays. And, you know, also check out the YouTube channel, Sports of the Legend TV. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.